Well, I suppose for the last since probably I came back to Cork when I got a proper job, as I'd like to call it, it's been at the back of mind and for a long time really. So it was always probably dependent on the manager more than anything whether they were happy for me to be a part-time player, probably in a full-time job really. So it's been going on for the last couple of years. I probably was lucky that John was the manager really. He probably understood it better than any manager that I've dealt with since I've had a job that I wouldn't be in able to be in as much as I'd like to be in, and he understood it because he done it himself. So it was come to end, and then probably last year more and more I could see the club sort of it's going more and more full time every probably every month now really, and during last season I was probably 50-50 whether I'd be thinking of doing it again next season, and sort of probably the cup final week when I sort of realised I wouldn't be starting in the team. That sort of and that probably swung it to say it's maybe time to step back, because if I'm not going to be there every time, I'm not guaranteed to play, and I'm not sure. Well, I don't think I'd be a great squad player, to be honest. I'm not sure. I'm not a great sub. I'm not a great watcher of a team that I'm playing in. So that probably swung it. And then speaking to John probably this week, look, he seemed keen to keep me for another season. But looking at the way the training and that was going for next season, he'd like me in more than I was even this season, and I just couldn't commit to that. And I think it just probably come then that it was just the right decision to make for myself and probably for John himself.
How difficult has it been to balance the working life and the football? Because I don't think there'd be a massive awareness across the country for how much footballers maybe have to take on work on the side.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard. There's no other way of looking at it. Like probably the Gaelic players have been doing it for as long as you can remember, so they have a better understanding of it than probably football players and anyone else. But it's been hard. It's time consuming. It takes a lot out of you, and causes a good few arguments back at home with the wife and that. But that's part of it. She probably learnt to understand that it was hard as well for her. So. But I enjoyed it. That's the only reason you do it is because you enjoy it. You like doing it. It was something I've done since a kid playing football. It's going to be hard to imagine not doing it, to be honest, even with the work. So, but like you say, it's sort of I got into a routine probably that I could do it. And like you said, with John as a manager and Cots assistant manager, they sort of. They sort of let me come in when I could come in, and I've came in and done what I could when I could really.
Let's go right back to 13-year association with the League of Ireland now. So when you first came over, and joining Cork City, what sits with you now when you look back on that?
At the time, especially at the start, it was the case of I was just coming over to play football really. I was a young lad then, just wanting to get a game of football, and I was lucky. John O'Flynn was at Peterborough when I was at Peterborough, and he came back to Cork City, and he I was still speaking to him obviously when I was over in England. He said, "Just come over and play a few games. We're looking for a centre half because I think there was a few injuries back then for Cork at the time." So I jumped at the chance really. I had nothing to keep me there, no distractions, and it was an easy decision, and expected fully to after I'd finished my stint here that I'd be going back to England and that would be me. But like you said,
Cork took a hold.
yeah, pretty much. I think like you say, I think if you put 13 years ago, I never would have thought that was the case. And it's even worse when you look back and say it was 10 years almost to the day when we won the league in Turner's Cross, which is frightening really how quickly it's gone, and the probably more what's happened along the way to Cork City and what I managed to do when I went up to Dublin.
Yeah, your journey, and yeah, when you just, okay, let's talk about 2005 then. You're a club captain, and when you got that success, that's one of a number of titles you've gained in Ireland before we even talk about Rovers. But 2005, we reflected on it recently here with Rory's documentary, a magical time for the club.
Yeah, unreal. It was a great time to be part of the club then, and we had probably easy to say, but it was a great group of players, great group of lads. It was we didn't have a massive squad, but we had an unbelievable squad. We had some really good players, probably, and the best the club probably ever had. Like, you look at Kevin Doyle's and Shane Long's that have gone on to do what they've done in the Premier League and in for Ireland, and the George O'Callaghans of the world, and John O'Flynn was the best striker in the league by a mile back then, and the talent there was unreal, and we were a close-knit group of people, and the club was on a massive high then, and it sort of all come together in that season when we managed to win the league. And like you say, it was a special time to be at it. Like, it's, that's probably you don't believe the good times can end when them sort of years happen, and how it finished and the way people celebrated will long live in the memory.
I'm going to ask you for a memory out of those celebrations. Or
out of celebrations, you'll always remember being in the, I'll see the picture of it again, in the shed after winning the title. That day was that night was pretty special. I don't think you'll get that in any other football stadium in the country, or probably anywhere these days, so that'll be always special. And probably do you know what, it's bad to say, but we probably celebrated too hard.
And
we went and lost the cup final.
Yeah.
So that's tinged with regret as well, because that was our time to do it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But great times. We arguably, hard to say, we wouldn't change it though.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really want to go back and ruin them either. Then came the cup success 2007, but that brings us kind of along to another step in your journey with the club, and I suppose the struggles that the club faced and your move away from the club. Talk to us about that time.
Well, like you say, 2007 was another great year, another great set of players. Changed a good bit, but still a great set of players. Like, we had Colin Healy was there at that time, Leo McSweeney, and them sort of players were top players at that time. So it was great, but it was a strange couple of months coming into that cup final. With, I'd say, everyone pretty much knew that Damien wasn't going to be the manager anymore, the way people off the club were running things, and this was probably the first time I'd met people involved with Cork City that hadn't got a clue about football, didn't support the club, had no interest in the club, had no interest in coming to watch the football. And probably the first one, the Aidan Tynan fellow, was, I had to deal with him a couple of times, and I've never met a man so uninterested and so up to date with what football is all about. And it was unbelievable that after the cup final, Damien went and Alan Matthews came in, and he came into probably a firestorm as well, because the players were arguing with the board about bonuses and all this sort of stuff. And but it seemed to be there was a serious amount of money in the club, so you're thinking, wow, we can't let this go. We have to try and enjoy every time, every as much as we possibly can. But probably the writing was on the wall. We should have known better. But as the season went on, we done really badly in Europe, and that company, or probably still don't really know who was in charge of the club or running the club or who was putting the money in, just stopped.
Which is worlds apart now from the way Ferris owned it.
Yeah,
so well run.
Yeah, so well run, and you have to give credit to him. That was when it started, probably 2008, I think it probably was, or 7, or something like that. They sort of started taking more of a grip of the club, and the writing was on the wall, really. Then the next fella was a different level altogether when he took the club, Tom Corlin. He was you wouldn't believe half the stuff that he used to go on about. Still beggars belief, some of the stuff.
Like what?
He used to be. He had strange ideas about us coming in, doing stuff, and going down to his place in Cove and going to courses and all this sort of stuff to make us better players, and couldn't get our head round it at all, really, why he was in for it and what he was doing. And like I said, that was probably the first time when the wages started to stop being paid, really, literally stopped being paid. So that was probably the toughest time, when it's arguably your job, so you're not getting paid on time or whatever. So that was tough. But then but it was still enjoyable actually playing the games. Paul Doolan was a manager in probably the worst time when Tom Corlin was in charge, but it was a good team we had, and in another season we wouldn't have been far off winning the league, because that season I think Healers and Dennis were sold to Ipswich for a few quid in Tom's back pocket and we finished third, got into Europe. But like you said, that Christmas and over before I moved to Rovers, I think Roddy Collins come in, and he couldn't wait to get me out of the club, so he couldn't have made it any harder for me to stay, really. He made it almost impossible to stay, and that was the case. And I went up to Shamrock Rovers. The club went
kaput. I just, before we talk about Rovers, how much did that tinge your time with Cork City, those relationships and how strange things were?
Yeah, it did. It left obviously a bit of taste towards the end, when I had no intention of leaving Cork at the time. It was never in my mind to leave, really. And then when Tom Corlin and Roddy were together, they'd done everything they possibly could to get me out of the club. I spoke to him, tried to, if we could negotiate anything. They owed a ridiculous amount of money to more than just myself, and all I did was want to negotiate that and move on from there, but they had no interest. I was probably impulsive and said what I was thinking more often than I should have done, and I'll take that that I said things that I probably shouldn't have said, especially in public, probably, but it's just the way I was probably at the time. But yeah, I'd never had any bad feelings towards anyone else. It's probably certain individuals more than anything. I think, like I say, that the other people that were involved in the club were good people and had good time for. But when you're getting forced out of a club when you don't want to leave, it's pretty hard to take.
But I can imagine.
It was is what it is. And like you say, I had no regret signing for Rovers when I did. And
It proved
couldn't have
successful.
Gone much better for me, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a massive part of your League of Ireland career. Like, we talk at length about Cork City, but your time at Rovers is hugely successful.
Yeah, like I said, it couldn't have gone much better. We had a top manager, which is proven now. He's probably going to have a Premier League job in time. So, it was brilliant. We had an unbelievable team as well, probably even unbelievable squad over the 2 years. We definitely had players for every position, and if you were left out, there was a player who was as good as you to get in, so you had to be pretty good to stay in the team. So
to go up there and captain them as well, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, brilliant. It was brilliant. It was great. It was great when he asked me, and I was probably more surprised than anyone when he did ask me to do it. But like you said, I was captain for such a long time, it didn't really affect me too much. It's a different club than it is down here. The supporters are a hell of a lot different. They tell you straight out, no bother what you're doing wrong, and no fear in them. So, but it was good. I like the club. The people there who work behind the scenes in the office, and that were great, and the lads were all brilliant. And like I say, the 2 years couldn't have gone better. And like I say, with the top by walking out as captain at White Hart Lane was something I'll...
That's up there with them, with the best memories.
Definitely, especially as a Spurs supporter as well.
Oh, were you? Sorry, I didn't even realise that. Yeah.
So that was pretty special moment. So, but like you say, you'll probably always remember the trophies, and the trips to Europe were pretty special for Cork and Rovers, but the Europa League was you probably don't realise it till you get there, but it's an unbelievable step up from anything that I'd played in before. And it'd be great for another club to do it.
Mm. So you returned to Cork City then, the second stint, and you've mentioned the way it was different, I suppose, in the return with your work on the side as well. But returning to a club and the progression City have made over the last couple of years, to be back for that and leave on that note, how difficult is that?
Yeah, unreal. Like you say, I was probably expecting too much when I first come back to Cork. It was growing back up again, really. I think it was it's not to put it harshly or anything like that, but you could see that they were struggling to probably keep a lid on the costs and that, and everything was done probably as cheaply as possibly could, which has to be done when you're starting from where Fora started from. But like you say, it's gradually got better. Like you say, I think they needed to get back in the Premier Division, and Tommy done a great job getting them back in there that season, and probably, as I would be a Cork City supporter as well, was delighted when they won the league, especially how they won it as well. Was unbelievable. But you could see it was going in the right direction. I think since John's taken over, they've definitely gone up another level. He definitely puts a lot of pressure on the board, I'd say, and probably Aina and Timmy in the office to get things exactly how he wants to do them. And you can tell as a player when you see it that things are going back to probably... I don't think we'll ever get back to the height of what we were with 52 weeks contracts, the players flying around and that. Maybe we will. It'd be great if it did. But they're definitely pushing the club in the right direction. Facilities as good as you can probably get in the league, really. That can actually almost call their own. The playing squad is getting better every year.
Every week, yeah.
I think every day almost there's a new sign, and they're top quality signings as well. Like Garrod coming back is probably the biggest signing probably for the last since he left. So it's hard to sit back. I tinge with regret that I might have retired now, that you could get to play them again, because it looks an exciting team that's shaping up. Young, hungry, but you've still got the experienced players, healers, probably Benno and Noltz be signing. So that's an exciting time, and I'll probably be looking forward to be watching them myself.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask a question now you mightn't like, but Dan, because you've been so close over the last two seasons, what happens if they go all the way next season? How will you feel?
I'd be delighted for him. Another tinge of regret, but I'd be a supporter, and that's what the club needs now. I think there's no doubt in that the silverware is the next step. I think that's all that's missing, really, I suppose, to take him to the next level. It's I think John came in and said Europe is a guarantee, should be a guarantee for this club every season. We've managed to do that the last couple of years, but you're only really judged on success, really. No one remembers who finishes second or who's runner-up in a cup final. It's all who's won it and who's done this and who done that, and that's all the club's missing now. I think you'd like to think that would take him to probably the next level that it needs to be a dominant force in the country,
consistently
like Dundalk arguably have the last 2 years, and it's going to be tougher again next year. I think you'd imagine Pats will be a lot stronger, Provers will be stronger again, Dundalk will be still there, so, and even look at probably Bray seem to be having there's a few quid behind them, so they won't be far behind. But going back to I'll miss celebrating it anyway if hopefully they do manage to win.
Supporters still do that too, so
that's true as well. Just on the other side, I can't actually say what being a supporter would be like, because I've never really done it.
Yeah, it'd be so alien to you.
Exactly.
Love it, getting used to.
Footballers are weird enough. I'd say supporters are even weirder, because they do crazy travelling.
Well, a word for those supporters, because the Cork City ones are renowned for being the best in the country, and playing for them and playing in front of them in the shed, it's amazing, I'd say.
Oh, I'm real. Like I said, I think you probably realise it more when you're travelling away, really, how many we get to the Dublin games and the Derrys, which is a ridiculous journey, that you realise it is the best supported club, as much you say. And when Cork City are doing well, you're going to get 4,000+ in the cross, and they will get behind you, and they will enjoy the success, and but they'll let you know if you're not doing it as well.
Keeping you on your toes. Yeah. Now, and a very important line this week when announcing your retirement was your retirement from League of Ireland football, because Dan Murray surely can't leave League of Ireland football and just completely go away from the game. So what's the plan now?
Well, definitely I'd be interested in getting the coaching as we go along, and playing wise, I'm not sure really. I'd think about it after Christmas, really. First time I can actually properly enjoy Christmas.
Any clubs making any calls yet?
There's a few, probably more jest texts than anything else, I think, but I haven't really thought about it. Like you say, the body feels great, and in an ideal world I could play for another 3 or 4 years for Cork City, but I think I'd not sure if I'd miss it yet. But if I do, I'd think about playing just locally. It wouldn't be anything major, but probably more pushing towards the coaching sort of side now.
You have a couple of badges.
Yeah,
I'd
be hoping to do the A licence. Probably some less. You need the badges to do anything in this country now. So the A licence over the next couple of years, and it's definitely something I'll be looking at, because I definitely can't see my life without football at some part. But I also heard Sky looking for someone on a Monday night that.
For League of Ireland football,
For do anything.
Oh, talk, right, okay.
Talk any football, any time, to anyone. And if we're struggling, we could get rid of Rory, me and you, Lisa,
okay,
could take
fine.
Over.
Yeah, it's worked quite well
great.
Today. Yeah. And as a Spurs fan, do you hope to get it over to White Hart Lane a bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to take, my young fella seems pretty keen on football, so I'd be able to take him to the cross when I can manage it, and take him to a few games and that, and I think he'll find it strange coming to Turner's Cross if I'm actually not on the pitch. But yeah, it'd be great. I'd enjoy it. Hopefully he can get the same love out of football as I can, and I'll be able to enjoy it with him.
Well, yesterday when the announcement came, there was a number of tributes online. Liam Kearney said to see Dan Murray retire, legend, great person, as well as one of the best footballers I've played with. John Cotter saying it was a pleasure to have worked with you for the last 2 years, a top professional, absolute gentleman. Eamon Murphy, our colleague over at the Echo, classy centre-back, hugely committed and a top fella to boot. John O'Sullivan was tweeting the videos of your goal against Apollon Limassol in Cyprus. Brian said, gutted to see Dan Murray retire. Owen, probably the best centre-back I've ever seen play in Turner's Cross. And that's just a snapshot of some lovely things that were said about you yesterday, which must be nice to hear in the last year or two.
Brilliant. I don't really know what to say. Sort of touched by a lot of the comments. Like say, people have said it to me, rung me about them, and like I say, to hear probably from Cotts and Kearney, the ones that you've worked with the most, probably mean the most to me, because they think, yeah, it's nice to have the people outside saying how good you've been or what you've done in this, but your peers, really, I'd prefer to be judged on what they'd say about me more than anyone else. And probably Eamon in the Echo, I'd say, he doesn't count because he's a GA fellow. I keep telling him.
I love that.
But no, it's brilliant. Like I say, it's. I think I've done all right over the years, and like I say, it's always nice for people to say nice things about you, and it's generally touched me, really. So, yeah. I didn't really know what else to say, to be honest.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. It's nice to see when a player is, you know, credited for their contribution on the field but also off it, and we have to echo those sentiments. Rory couldn't be here today, but he did say thanks for the memories. Yeah. So look, Dan, thanks for joining us, and the best of luck in the rest of your football career, whatever path you may take.
Great. Thanks for having us.